time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for again joining us here today at Abounding Grace. We took up yesterday and this week the study of Philippians chapter 3, where Paul is impressing upon the Philippian church this wonderful truth, where he says in chapter 3, verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven." And he really wanted them to understand this in light of all of their trials, all of their sufferings, all of the things they were going through as a church and as a people in the present evil age in which they live, where they couldn't reconcile and understand the fact that Christ was reigning, that they were Christians, that they were Christ's people, and yet still suffering. Still suffering internal problems inside the church, bickering with one another, and facing opposition on the outside. And Paul is saying, look, your citizenship is in heaven. Look at the realities that you have even now, these glorious spiritual realities. And this is not, notice this is in the present, he says. This is in heaven now. Your citizenship is already a reality for us now. And so he's really impressing upon all of our minds that in all of the struggles we face, we must live knowing that this citizenship is secured for us and for the Philippians and for all of those who call out in the name of the Lord in heaven. Now, Christians struggle to believe this. Different types of people come to my mind when I say this, and it's hard to impress upon the American mindset this truth for the Christian in America that our citizenship is in heaven. I mean, I find it absolutely interesting, at least according to Barna research, that most Americans do not expect to experience hell firsthand. Just 0.5% expect to go to hell upon their death. Now, nearly 2/3 of Americans believe they will go to heaven. Now, why is that? Well, yesterday we looked at it. It predominantly flows from a mindset in which people think they are basically good, that a loving God could never punish sin. They've created a God of their own imagination whose utter holiness and otherness is a complete and foreign concept. And instead, hyper-immanence or his present among us is just one of us, a very pantheistic view of God, is prevalent among many evangelical Christians. Combine this American fashion God with the heaven on earth syndrome that America has sought to create for itself and done very well at creating. It's no wonder that you look at even Hollywood movies today. They often portray heaven as just a continuation of this present life. People living like the song that was outlined yesterday at the beginning, where everything is earthly minded and set on earthly things, and we've created this wonderful earthly paradise. They will be utterly terrified when Christ and the heavens break open and Christ returns in judgment, which could happen any moment. There then is the type of, that's one type of person who is very deluded. There's another type of American Christian who knows nothing of what, let's say, Christians in other countries suffer, those in places where the gospel and those who believe in Christ are being persecuted. The American Christian has not known this. And so he's not pressed. He's not persecuted. Now then comes Paul's words to a suffering people in Philippi. And it says to them and to us, your citizenship is in heaven. It doesn't mean much to the American Christian because things are so good here. I mean, living fat and living complacent off the land, there's no sense of actually running to so as to win this prize. For I'm already living as if I've already obtained it here and now. And that's a great temptation for us, isn't it? Blessings from the Lord and the things that we have are not evil things until our evil hearts cling to them more than to Jesus Christ. And that is something we must guard ourselves from, for our greatest temptation will be to see our citizenship as being of this world. And that's why I believe the theology today is so predominant that Christ is going to reestablish and build a kingdom here on this earth. There's a new heavens and a new earth coming. Our citizenship, Paul says, is in heaven, not in this world. That has to be dealt with. Paul has presented to us something totally different. Though we have everything this world has to offer, the Christian feels pressed for his greatest want. Feeling the weight of his sin and feeling the seriousness of his sin and the utter holiness of God, he often cries out, "I'm undone," as Isaiah did. "I'm a sinner with unclean lips. I am not fit to be in your presence." And the presence of sin still often causes doubt. The presence of evil and the trials that we face makes us at times question and doubt the promises of God. And the longing of the Christian's heart is the gaining of the one thing that he's not yet attained to, as Paul is here describing, Jesus Christ in glory. But when this other life that Paul is here describing for us really takes hold of our minds and penetrates our hearts so that we really come to know and believe the sweet words of the gospel, a gospel that says you cannot save yourself, you must flee to Christ, you cannot work your way into heaven, you are so bad that you are miserable and under the wrath of the Almighty God of heaven and earth, but because of his great love by which he loved us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When that takes a hold of the mind, the whole pursuit of this life becomes different than setting our mind on earthly things. And Paul has been impressing the implication of the gospel upon our hearts and upon the Philippians' hearts. Since you believe this about yourselves as sinners and about Jesus as a savior and about him being the end of the law for righteousness to all who believe, since you've been loved with an overwhelming and a giving love like this, since you have a righteousness apart from the law by faith in Christ and that you are now right with God, the implication then is this: your citizenship is in heaven. And so everything then in this life is directed to that higher goal, isn't it? This upward calling, as he has told us, regardless of painful circumstance and painful trial, you are in this upward calling of God in Christ. You're in pursuit of that mountain, the holy mountain of God, not looking back to Sodom and Gomorrah. So I'm motivated now to live as a Christian in this newness of life, to receive what has already become mine, by right. Do you hear, friends, in the Lord what he's really saying to us? You are to live this Christian life precisely because of what you already are. God fully expects us to live in full assurance that our citizenship is right now already in that place that was described yesterday and the day before, this beautiful place, this glorious place called heaven. So I'm never to live thinking that if I do wrong or I do this wrong thing, I may fall out of God's favor or I may be eternally judged for it. It's the hardest thing for us to grasp this, so you must listen clearly today. If you've believed in Jesus Christ, you stand acquitted before his throne. And that very status as a child of God, a son of God, compels me to be what I already am. I do not do this bad thing that I'm contemplating, or I do not do this, or I do not do that that is a dishonoring of God's will because of the fact that right now I'm already a citizen of heaven, of the other world. I don't go and fornicate or do these sort of things that are displeasing to God, not because it puts others in danger when I get behind the wheel, or because it may harm my body, or because it might displease my parents. Well, those are very good reasons, but the primary reason is because as a believer, I've come out of that other life. I've become and I've already been translated and elevated with Christ to be a member of this place of bliss that we call heaven. Isn't that the whole point of Ephesians chapter 2, that he raised us and seated us in the heavenlies in Christ? Spiritually, I'm already there with him. I mean, isn't that the motivation behind such verses that say, since I've been raised with Christ, raised with him, I am to set my mind on things above where Christ is? This is exactly why Jesus' statement means so much to us. In order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Born from above, literally as it translates. And that, of course, is all about a changed heart. The principle of a new life implanted in the heart so that now I'm in full pursuance of this upward calling, already right now a citizen of that kingdom, having been conveyed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so this is what the Apostle Paul is representing to us, that all people in this world are in one of two kingdoms. And if you're listening out there today and you're not a believer, this you must hear very carefully. He's described to us those who are earthly minded, who are in pursuance of this kingdom that is of this world. And there are certain characteristics to those who are a part of it. There's no neutral ground. You're either in allegiance to one or to the other. Into the kingdom of this world, you are either a slave of your sin, which is essentially bondage to the father of lies, who is the devil. And so the lusts of your flesh guide your action. The covetousness of your eyes drive a straining forth for this world. The pride of life seeks to establish its own glory, which Paul says has its own shame. But the other life is radically different. Everything has been switched. The very status of condemned to justified, the very bondage from slavery and bondage to sin and to evil to now the freedom to walk in righteousness and life. From being under the direct sway of the evil one to being under the yoke of Christ, which is easy and light and refreshing. From being bound for hell to now becoming a citizen already of heaven. If you really know that this is yours, won't you strain forward towards it today? This is not in question for those who have been called out to the Lord, for those who have come to Christ, for those who have sought to lose their lives to gain Him. For you there is only joy, only true happiness, and the end result is the salvation of your souls. A place around the throne room in heaven to work and to serve your Lord for an eternity. Are you running so as to win the prize? Think of Bunyan's statement of Lot. He would not look back, even for his wife. Fire and brimstone were before him, but before him was the mountain of God. What are you after today? What is your pursuit in this life? Are you straining forward to your ultimate goal? May Jesus Christ be your all in all, fleeing to Him, longing for the day to come when you will see Him face to face.
Well, our desire in our brief time together each and every day here on Abounding Grace is to encourage you in Christ, and we trust today's broadcast has done that, even in a small way. If you have questions or comments about today's program, maybe a thought or two about what we've discussed today, would you please contact us? We'd love to hear from you. Your letters and phone calls mean a great deal to us. It's a great way of encouraging us as we seek to encourage you in Christ. The phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at the church, please stop by our website. We even have some of the sermons by Pastor Chris Gordon there that you can review and listen to at your convenience. LindenURC.com is the website. Again, LindenURC.com. And as you stop by, would you drop us a quick email? Let us know you paid us a visit. That would encourage us a great deal. Again, the phone number, 360-318-0429. And if you would like to join us for worship here at United Reformed Church of Linden, we're located at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Directions and the map are located at our website, lindenurc.com, or you can call us, 360-318-0429, for those directions. And if you do visit us, would you let one of the ushers know that you were invited by the broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. If you'd like to write to us, just add Abounding Grace and the zip code 98264 to that address, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, and we'll be sure to correspond with you in kind. We do thank you for joining us today, and trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.